Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Many of us would be familiar with that passage of Scripture. It's a proof text that's often used in a message entitled The Immutability of God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, even those things are so familiar to us. It's like a familiar friend we haven't seen in a while. And how it warms our hearts, and our hearts burn within us as we're reminded of things that we know and knew, and we visit once again. We thank you, Father, that you are the unchangeable God, and we pray, Father, that as we enter into this message, that we may draw some nuggets of truth that will bless us even more so and cause our faith to be solidified even more as we consider this message, the scriptures that are used. May the Holy Spirit drive these things to our hearts and Lord would find a resting place there. We ask now once more that you would remove the sin, remove those things that would deter your blessings from coming our way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of those absolute attributes. And it has nothing to do with time or space. It's something that only can apply to God. No one or nothing else but Him. They're uniquely tied with God's character and who He is. His immutability simply means defined unchangeableness. He's unchanged. He's unchanging. He changes not, like the text explains. God does not change. We change. We change our minds, sometimes for good and sometimes not for good. Sometimes we think we're changing for good, and we find out later it's not so good. You know, we change. We're fickle creatures. But praise God, that is not the case with our God. He's far above us. He does not change. He has no need to change. We have to change. We have a need to change because we're not perfect. God is perfect. He has no need to change. And a day of unwarranted, unauthorized, ungodly changes that are happening in the world, it's so refreshing to know that God never changes, never has, and never will. He's the same. Has always been. Some people imagine that He does. I mean, can you think about that? That God could change. To me, that's a fearful thing. You know, the God who has promised to take me to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross can change His mind and decide to do me in. That's not too comforting to me. I like the idea that God never changes. God is stable. God can be relied upon. God can be trusted. So immutability is an attribute of God that we ought to take great comfort in. And we ought to rejoice in a day of so many crazy changes today. If God can change in one thing, He could change in another thing. And that's the thing that people fail to recognize and think it through, is that they don't understand if they're changing their God in their mind, and they've got a God that changes and could change on any given moment, on any given thing. But people imagine that God is evolving, as if he needs to evolve. And you see that, don't you?
Yep.
You see that with Catholicism. What once was a truth is no longer a truth because the Pope said something in total opposition to the Word of God. And that's all based on their idea, and I've mentioned it before, about their position on the Word of God. They are continuists. They're not cessationists. They don't believe that it ceased. Okay? But that it continues. God speaks through the Pope. Charismatic, same thing. The gift of tongues continues. The prophecy continues. And so God changes in their view. And reason I say it changes is because they're going directly against God's revealed will in his word. A God that changes. It's a very relevant issue in light of people taking different positions. Well, that was back then. Well, guess what? God was the same back then as he is right now and always will be. So it's a very relevant point that needs to be pointed out to people. We could take this whole subject of the immutability of God as an evangelical platform to witness to people. The mutability or changeableness belongs to the creation, but not to the Creator. I mean, you see, the weather changes, right? The weather changes. The atmosphere changes. Even the Earth's surface changes. We see that, people change. God made man perfect and upright. He was upright. He was very good. But man changed. And we've all felt the pain of human fickleness, of people changing. It's like, I believe it was Jacob. Him and Laban got along just fine. But then all of a sudden, Jacob was prospering, doing something that Laban didn't like, and his countenance changed on him. You ever had that happen? Where someone's countenance changed on it? And sometimes you know why, sometimes you don't, but it's heartbreaking. But that's never the case with God. He's never like that. He never changes. It's a ground of blessed hope for those who have been chosen and saved by God's grace. Our hope is not in the supposed or proposed paradise on earth by man's vain imaginations. The foundation of our hope is on the unchanging rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's look at what we want to consider. First of all, we want to recognize that God is immutable in his nature. In his very essence, God is immutable. You can tell that by just his name. He is the great I am. He's not the great I was and the great I will be. He's the great I am.
Amen.
He never changes. He's the same. He's eternal. And that indicates his stability, his unchangeableness. He's God's solidarity. That he is one. He is unique. Proves his immutability and that he is not divided. If God could be divided, he could be changed. But he cannot be. He is one. The scriptures tell us in James chapter 1 and verse 17, speaking of the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. There's no changing. God can't change for the worse. He's holy. He's the eternally holy one. God can't change for the better because he's the holy and the perfect one. Time affects no changes on God who is eternal. Why would you want to change perfect? It doesn't make good sense, does it? To desire that God would be different than what he is. And the perverse mind tries to say, well, God, you should be that way. I mean, that's saying that you're more perfect than God is, and there's no way you can be. And it doesn't even make good sense that we who are created are above the one who created us. Nothing can be added to God's perfection. Nothing can be subtracted from it. We are the ones who need the change. And to be more and more conformed to the image of our God, the perfect one. He is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. He is ever the same. He's not bowed down because he's the Ancient of Days. You know, we change over time. We get older and we have aches and pains and we get bowed over and, you know, we slow down. That's not the same with God. He's the same always. Isaiah, Marty mentioned in chapter 40, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." Even though he's been working all things together for our good and for the saints gone by and the saints that will come, he is the same. He never wearies. I get weary with me. I mean, but God never does. God is not only immutable in his nature and in his essence, but God is immutable in his attributes. His characteristics of who he is. The power of God is always the same. We read in Romans chapter 1 verse 20 that he has eternal power. Eternal power. It never changes. There's no increase in his knowledge. It's all the same. He already knows it all. He's omniscient. There in Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. His wisdom is undiminished. He doesn't, you know, I'm gathering some more knowledge and I'm learning how to apply that knowledge more properly as time goes on. No. There are some neo-theologians that actually believe that. God's mercy endureth forever. The psalmist says that over and over again.
Right.
It endureth forever. God, because God never changes. I would have gave up on me a long time ago. But God never does. His love is unchangeable. His love is everlasting. And Jeremiah tells us, oh, what a comfort that must have been for Jeremiah, considering his lot in his life. Lord, you love me. Even though I'm in this situation, you put me there. I don't know why, but Lord, you put me here. But I know you love me. And I'm sure Jeremiah, you know, he said he was going to quit preaching, you know. God still loved him. Because God is unchangeable. He's immutable. God's holiness cannot be tainted. He cannot sin. No matter how many times people sin against him and rebel against him and blaspheme him and throw up their fist in defiance against him, it doesn't change. His truthfulness is immutable. Again, he cannot lie. And you think about all the blessings that God gives. Down through the years, down through the millennial of time, in the past, presently, that God, his mercy is poured out on the just and on the unjust, and yet, he never runs out. Never runs out. He's the same. He doesn't say, oh, my resources are getting low. I'm going to have to divvy up a little bit of this and ration out my blessings. Never. Because he never changes. He's always abundant in mercy. But then thirdly, God is immutable in his counsel. The counsel or the purposes of God are eternal. There's no new resolutions that are needed or formed. No new decrees are made by God. For his counsels are of old. Hebrews chapter 6. It says in verse 17, let's just turn over there. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the what? The immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. That's one that, if we're just learning theology to put in our heads and make our heads get all puffed up, it's not going to do us. There's always going to be a practical value. And here we see it, right? Right there where it talks about God's immutability. What is it? It brings us consolation, brings us comfort. Two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's immutable in his counsel. His purposes can't be frustrated. People imagine, we're getting these, listening to some guy street preaching over in Minnesota. He was at a park where a witch was setting up a table at a park, and he began witnessing her, and she was all upset at him and saying, well, we're in a new world order. You had your time. As if they've gotten something over on God. It's just a fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. They've not got anything over. They're fulfilling prophecy and don't even know it. His purposes cannot be frustrated because the counsel of the Lord, it says in Psalm 33:11, stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. When we think about God's counsel, we think about his word, right? What is his word? His word is forever settled in heaven. Doesn't change. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. He doesn't have to change his counsel. It does not change. There's no need for it. Job 23:13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. When he is counseled to do something, it's done. Even before it's done. That because his counsel is immutable. It's unchangeable. It's not affected by man. Now, some people, and this is where people get confused about this whole issue, and they get into some of these false teachings. they confuse manifestation with change. You see, some people will say, well, God changes. No, he doesn't. Amen. It's a different manifestation of the eternal, unchangeable God. It's our perspective. You know, a sun might shine through this window one moment, and then a few hours later it won't. That doesn't mean the sun has changed, but the manifestation to us has changed. God's decrees and his purposes, his counsel remains same all the time. It's transitioning toward one purpose. People say, well, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God changed. No. It was all one purpose. It's all transitioning to one purpose. God's counsel on it is the same. It's part of the predestinated purpose of God. That things went through the stages that he had determined before the foundation of the world. It doesn't mean that he's changed. But our finite minds only see part of the picture. We don't see a bird's eye view like God does. Well, then we think about one of the passages I read this morning. Who can tell if God's going to repent? Again, that's a confusion between change and manifestation. We see that God does not repent, the scriptures tell us in Numbers 23:19. So what do we say? The repentance of man is different than the quote-unquote repentance of God. The repentance of man has to do with a change of the will and the mind because of sin. Well, God never sins, so that cannot be the case with him. It means a change of manifestation and activity, but it's always in line with his immutable character and, again, his immutable, unchangeable purpose in it all. We don't see the whole purpose. And we might not see, Lord, what's the purpose in me going through the trouble that I'm going through? You know, things were going pretty good. You know, and it's like your providence smiled on me and all of a sudden I got a frowning providence. You changed on me. No. His still working all things together for good for me. But I don't see the end result and the end purpose behind it, you see. I don't see it clearly like God sees it. So it's not a change in God's character. It's a change in the manifestation, our perception. You know, just because the sun shines on wax and it melts, and then it shines on clay and it hardens, doesn't mean that the sun has changed. You see, the manifestation is different. We see that God's spoken of as repenting and walking and waking and rising early. Where it speaks of his eyes and his ears and his hands. These are merely figures of speech to accommodate our finite understanding, our finite minds of the infinite God. People say, well, what about God's emotions? They change. He's angry with the wicked. He's grieved over this. The scriptures tell us he's blessed forever. He's happy all the time. He's angry with the wicked every day. His emotions, or I've used that loosely in quotations, are again manifestations. But God's emotions are all one. It's not a changeableness in him. They exist forever alongside each other at any given moment. They're manifest to us in appropriate times and conditions which God has ordained. Nothing's changed. What about when God promises he's going to send wrath, but he doesn't send it? Well, in the case of Israel, Israel has made that kind of promise there in Jeremiah 18 and verse 8. That if they would abide by his word, there was a condition attached to it that's implied or just plain out spoken, that I will do this if you do that. It's premised upon, and that's the way God ordained it. God already knew that they weren't going to keep it. He hasn't changed. There's a condition attached to it. And Israel didn't meet the qualifications, and so he didn't dwell in Jerusalem and in the temple where he would be his rest forever, because they did not abide in his word. They didn't abide in his service and in his worship, and didn't keep his laws and his ordinances. And again, this was, God knew this already. God suffered them to be carried away into captivity. And he proceeded with his ordained plan all along, and that is to move into the next dispensation that we find in the New Testament. And then, of course, there are those who say that, well, prayer changes things. God, prayer changes the mind of God. It does not. Prayer is a divine ordained means that God uses to bless his people. It doesn't change him one bit. That would make man sovereign and God the creature, the subject. He gladly subscribes to the blessed truth that God hears prayer, and we cannot deny that God is unchangeable and that prayer cannot change him. It's again his means of grace that will always be in harmony with his will and his word. It says there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We find once more in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We're in need of him. We need change. So the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So because God possesses infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge and infinite power, and no one else, has no need to change anything of unforeseen circumstances or a foiled plan that failed with God. There is this neo-theological position, just so you know, and beware of it. It's called open theism. Open theism assumes that God doesn't know everything ahead of time, and that His plans change accordingly. It's a horrible teaching, but it's something that is spreading around. Again, that makes God controlled by his creation. The creator control, you know, he's got to respond to various situations that he didn't know about, and he's got to come up with a plan B. He can only make a educated guess about the way things will turn out. That's not the God of the Bible. God's word never changes. I'm just so glad. You know what we're going back to, if that's the kind of, but that's what people want. They want to be in control. They want to be God. I'm glad our God is not like the fickle Greek and Roman pagan gods that changed, and they have a hissy fit over something. And we have a God that never changes. He is God and there is none other, and none can change him. He is Lord, he changes not, and therefore we're not consumed in our sins. Isn't that beautiful? We're not consumed either. He made a promise to save his people from our sins through Jesus Christ, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in him. They're settled. Again, the unchangeableness of God is a great evangelical point. God will not change to your whims and wishes. That would make him a slave to man who is woefully changeable. God does not change with the times or with the culture. That would mean God would be a slave to time and to culture. Mutability indicates an instability. The unchanging, immovable steadfastness of God can be relied upon, can be trusted in. So, what do we do with this? We can take comfort from it. Who God is. But we need to demonstrate our understanding of this truth. How do we demonstrate our understanding of this truth and our appreciation of this character trait of our God? By being patient in tribulation. Not impatient. Insisting that God would change his will for us because we're having a hard time. God's unchangeable and he's working all things together for our good. We can take comfort that he loves us and working all things together for our good. He has an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. God doesn't cancel his reservations because he never changes. We cancel reservations because we're running late, we have a flat tire, or whatever. But God never does. And as we seek to demonstrate this character trait of God, we should not settle in this mutable world to the neglect of the unchanging God. That's a slap in his face. That we settle in the world that is changing to the neglect of the unchangeable, immutable God. And then let us follow after the example of our God by being steadfast and immovable in biblical doctrine and in biblical practice. Let's be faithful to him who is unchangeably faithful to us. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. How many of us need work with that? We all do. May God help us to be unwaveringly loyal to him. Because he is immutably and eternally loyal to us. Well, let's close with a word of prayer at this time. Brother Jimmy, if you could lead us.
Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer this afternoon. Thank you, Father, for being such a great God.
Yes.
Immutable, Father, for being omniscient, for all your great attributes. Great God of the universe.
Yes.
Will not let anything happen to him that is not in your will. Help us, Lord, to find comfort in this and realize that no matter what happens, Lord, we will be up to this God of ruin for our good.
Yes.
Help us that we will not worry about things that we cannot control. Many times, Father, we have problems in life and we start worrying and praying, Lord. And we should just realize that you will take care of us. And once again, Father, for me to
Amen.